Welcome to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
You need to be able to educate yourself to understand what the Catholic Church teaches.
We need to understand our gifts and our abilities, and it's really about fertility awareness and responsible parenthood.
Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified OBGYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife, Betty, are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
God so wanted us to know the meaning and purpose of existence that he built it right into us.
A chaste lifestyle means joy and freedom.
If we promote it and promote it effectively, we will change the way people think about natural family planning.
It's a new journey in our faith.
And now, here are your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger.
And I'm Betty Ruppersberger.
And we're very happy to be back with you this month, and we think that we have a very interesting and exciting program to share with you today. But as always, Betty will open with a prayer.
Welcome, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, our Creator, from your provident hand we have received our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You have called us as your people and given us the right and the duty to worship you, the only true God, and your Son, Jesus Christ. Through the power and working of your Holy Spirit, you call us to live out our faith in the midst of the world, bringing the light and the saving truth of the gospel to every corner of society. We ask you to bless us in our vigilance for the gift of religious liberty. Give us the strength of mind and heart to readily defend our freedoms when they are threatened. Give us courage in making our voices heard on behalf of the rights of your church and the freedom of conscience of all people of faith. Grant, we pray, O Heavenly Father, a clear and united voice to all your sons and daughters gathered in your church in this divisive hour in the history of our nation, so that with every trial withstood and every danger overcome for the sake of our children, our grandchildren, and all who come after us, this great land will always be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. We thought that opening prayer would be appropriate in this season of elections and anticipating the upcoming Respect Life weekend, which will be happening beginning on October the 6th and 7th, and Respect Life Sunday being that weekend. And the topic of our program today, and one that Betty and I both feel is extremely important, and one that was motivated by an article that appeared this month in Family Foundations magazine, which is the official publication of the Couple to Couple League, is marketing natural family planning. And Betty and I have had many conversations about this particular topic, and we were discussing it in the car. And we would like you to join us, if you will, because we always let you know that we are live at 215-345-1570. So for the next 50 minutes or so, we'd like you to call us if you have a thought on why it is that people really don't know very little, if anything, about natural family planning and what it is that we can do to get the word or the message out there. So if you have a thought on why maybe you don't know anything about it, and you can share that with us, it might help us in putting together a marketing plan and give us some of your suggestions or recommendations as to what it is that you think that we need to do. So if you can give us a call at 215-345-1570, we'd appreciate that.
We'd also like to hear from callers that use natural family planning to help us to promote this on our radio station today. if you use it, or, you know, you've passed it on to your children to use and understand, it's a beautiful gift that you were, you know, have been given this knowledge. And we'd like to hear from you also. So, again, 215-345-1570. Give us a call and let's discuss this topic today.
So one of the biggest issues that I think we have touched upon before is that there's a language barrier that exists out there, that one of the approaches that typically takes place, and I guess Betty and I are somewhat as guilty of it as everyone else who's trying to promote it, and I guess it's because we're trying to be as enthusiastic as we can in promoting Catholic Church teaching, is that couples really don't want to hear that this is what the Church teaches, and because the Church says that it's so, that that's the reason why you should be doing it. And the late Father Richard Hogan, who Betty and I happen to know personally, and we attended several of his lectures and heard him speak on several occasions, and he was a very big proponent of theology of the body, and unfortunately had a very early in life demise last year from a sudden illness, used to say that we need to meet people where they are. We can't come at them with theology. We can't come at them with preaching. We can't come at them, well, that's because the Church says it's so. We need to be able to talk to them about NFP from the point of view of what will it do for you? What's in it for you? And so we need to ponder that. We need to think about that, and we need to come up with a common language and a communication skill, and then expand that into a marketing plan. And one of the aspects, or one of the issues that Father would speak to, is that communication requires both transmission and reception. Here Betty and I are sitting in a radio booth in Doylestown transmitting information. On the other end, there's got to be reception. People have to have their radios tuned in to 1570 AM or 1420 AM in Coatesville in order to be able to hear the transmission. And I think many times when we are presenting in pre-Cana and presenting in RCIA and presenting in front of youth groups and young adult groups and talking about NFP, that we're transmitting and we're giving out the message, but the people that are sitting out there in front of us, they ain't receiving it because we're not on the same wavelength. And we're speaking in French and they're all there to hear the talk in Spanish. And so one of the biggest issues that we need to do is we need to come up with a language that people will understand. We can't be preachy. We can't be teachy. And we have to be peachy. And we have to say, all right, we get it. You know, you want to plan your family. All right, we get it. You want to have intimacy as a married couple, and you don't want to have any children right now. And we're not going to criticize your decision to do that. But we have something here that will really work for you. We have something here that is very effective. We have something here for you that is very safe. We have something here for you that is very easy to use and learn. And it's very environmentally considerate. It's very green. And why would you not want to consider using this? Forget about the fact that the Catholic Church promotes it. Forget about the fact that it's the only thing that the Catholic Church, you know, promotes, and go in that direction.
I think for women, I think it's a little difficult because they, you know, go to their doctor and the culture says that we need to use contraception to prevent pregnancy. It's the responsible thing to do. That's what the culture says. And so our lifestyles and our culture has been promoting this sexual promiscuity outside of marriage, that women are so-called protecting themselves by using contraception because they think they're being responsible, but they're not really realizing that this is the responsible thing to do. The responsible thing to do is to be in love with your partner and have marriage and understand one another and cherish one another and learn the gifts of your body, of your bodies, that God has given us. And culturally, that's the biggest wall, I think. And medically, it's a big wall to break through, because I don't think there's a time when we don't go to a talk anywhere. In pre-Cana, we speak at a lot of pre-Canas, lecture. We last just talked at a theology on tap. I don't think there is a time that a woman doesn't come up to Les and say, I am on the birth control pill because my doctor said I need to be on this. And there's no explanation. There's no reason. The person, the woman, never really understands why she's on this pill, what the disease is, why, what are we really treating? Because it's a treatment without really investigating what the real problem is. And that's what we try to get through to people. There's a reason why you're having difficulties, why you would take a contraceptive pill for a medical reason. Let's cure the disease so that you don't have to be on a contraceptive pill. And it just goes on and on, but every single time Les speaks, a woman comes to him and asks him or tells him that she is on the pill for medical reasons. And it's an uphill battle, because that's what our culture says that we need to do. As women, we need to go to our doctor, we need to get on the contraceptive pill, and that's how we're supposed to live our lives. Instead of being totally, what's the word I want to use, you know, unfeathered without using medications for our fertility. Our fertility is not a disease, and we should not have to protect ourselves from someone that we love. So, you know, there's a little bit of craziness going on here in our culture today, because we as women have our rights, so to speak, and we should be able to protect ourselves from men. And that's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to have a loving partner and a willing partner and to love one another and to be for the other. And unfortunately, we're not getting that real message across.
And let's face it, contraception is a hot topic these days. You know, we had the HHS mandate. We spoke about that a couple of months ago. That just went into effect August the 1st. And Betty and I went to a conference in the spring. And at that conference, the discussion was that contraception is the elephant in the room. It's a hot topic. It needs to be brought up. It's the perfect teaching moment for the Catholic Church and all Christian churches to use this time, this season, to be able to re-engage the conversation on what the Church teaches and why it teaches what it teaches. And there are already dioceses around the country that have a really good infrastructure and have done a lot of marketing and a lot of advertising and have really expanded their teaching facilities for natural family planning. And unfortunately, we are not at the present time one of those dioceses. We're fighting an uphill battle. And currently in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we have close to 1.5 million Catholics. We do close to 5,500 Catholic weddings every year, and we have not targeted and not promoted to those people the way we should, the message that we should be getting out. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to talk a little bit about our positioning statement. We're going to talk about some of the examples of some of the other dioceses that have been successful in promoting natural family planning and how they did it. And we want you to be part of the conversation. We want you out there to tell us whether you're of childbearing age and you're interested in family planning methods. What would be attractive to you? What kind of message would you be interested in hearing, whether you're hearing it in church from a priest or a deacon during a homily, whether you're hearing it in a talk in a theology on tap for 21 to 35-year-olds in a bar, whether you're hearing it in a Bible study program or a health fair or any kind of other discussion.
Or even a woman's group. It is fascinating to know, like, you know, I'm speaking about the doctors and how women are feeling put upon by their doctor to practice contraception. But there's other factors here also. I would love for someone to call in and tell me when the last time they heard something at Mass or at a parish function about what the church teaches on contraception. We're not hearing it from the church. So a lot of people will say, well, we don't know. We don't know what's true. We don't think it's wrong. We think it's perfectly fine. We never hear anybody saying anything. I had a priest tell me today, an older priest, that our culture today doesn't really believe it to be wrong, and they don't feel that they need to confess it in confession because they feel that it's perfectly fine and perfectly appropriate. So where are those who are spreading the faith? Where are they? You know, are they spreading it? Do you hear it in your parish? Even if it's a topic that is upsetting or annoying to you, have you heard it? And that's what we need to get this message out. It's not just Betty and Les Rupersberger. It needs to be from everywhere. It needs to exude. It's, as Les said, the elephant in the room. This is our opportunity right now to defend women's rights, defend the health of women. Women are being brainwashed, as you know, as our news media every evening says that there is a war against women now. I don't agree with that. I think the war, in some respects, there is a war against women to force them, to brainwash them, to make them think that they're the ones that need to be responsible. They're the responsible contracepting. It doesn't make sense. It takes two people in order to engage and carry a pregnancy. Where is the other half of that factor there? And why is it just the woman's responsibility and not the man's?
Well, the war against women that you're hearing on the news that Betty's referring to is actually, ironically, the converse of what's actually happening. They're saying that the war against women is because they're going to be deprived of their contraceptives.
Exactly.
If it's not provided for them for free through the HHS mandate and through insurances. And that is nothing could be further from the truth. Hormonal contraception and other types of contraceptives, IUDs and those types of things, are not women's health care. And so the war is really, the woman is at the center of the war. And on one side, you have the evil inspired, Satan inspired, destroy women because of what Mary did and because of what happened in the garden, by having women buy a lie in that contraception, which the church defines as intrinsically evil, is good for them. And on the other side, you have the healthy people, the people that are interested in true, authentic women's health care, and the church trying to protect women, and the God-inspired people saying, no, we want to elevate the dignity of the woman and that she has a special place not only in our culture and our society, but in our church, in that she is the tabernacle in which new life comes into the world, and Mary is the pinnacle and the summit example. And then the other side saying, well, we don't want to hear about your religion, and we don't want to hear about, you know, your theological aspects of it. We got to get down to brass tacks. There's a lot of unplanned pregnancies every year, and we have to protect these women so that they don't have to go out and have abortions and be damaged and be wounded. So there's no question that women are at the center of this tug of war, and they do represent a larger percentage of the population, and there are more female babies born than male babies, and they are basically the ones that are parenting the children when the fathers are absent, and we've talked about that on other programs. So this is a message that needs to be predominantly directed toward women, but it also should be directed toward the men that love these women.
Also, I do believe that it's targeting women and their role as wives and mothers. Our culture today doesn't want to include that in women's roles. They don't want women to be defined as a spouse or a mother. And, you know, women in their 30s are waiting into their 30s and having difficulty maybe achieving a pregnancy because they delayed their fertility. My issue is that motherhood is one of the greatest joys and gifts a woman could have. And I feel that the breakdown of the family and the marital bond and the idea of being a woman and being a mother to children is a detriment to these women, to women culturally. They're being fed that, and that concerns me. Yes, women have a right. Women have wonderful abilities. We're very educated, and we're able to do any kind of job, and we're giving that that ability to do that now in our culture. But also, we have the greatest ability, again, to be a mother, to carry a child, bring a child into this world. And only women can do that. So that is a great gift that we're given. And it's also not being, I don't think it's being respected enough for me as a woman, culturally, I should say. Spiritually, you know, I've seen this at our parish. We have a woman's Bible study, and we have a lot of young mothers who have a different outlook on their motherhood, and they embrace their motherhood. They're not overwhelmed by their motherhood. They're enjoying it, and that's what God really expects from us.
So our challenge is to come up with a marketing plan with that as a background and a backdrop. And this is similar to thinking about this. Think about it from the context and from the aspect of comparing Windows with Apple. Windows probably owns, without too much effort, 98% of the market, and they have a market brand. Apple comes in, and you know the symbol of Apple is, you know, the picture of an apple, and it's got a bite out of the side of it. And they think differently about how they want to market and create a niche. And so we have to come up with a systematic thought process. We got to identify who our target audience is, and our market definition are the couples who are young, between the ages of 20 and 44, and in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, that's 35% of all the Catholic population, so it's more than one-third of that population. 49% of them are married, and the other are not, and so our target audience should be those couples. We have, among those couples, people that are the doubters, and people that don't really believe that NFP works. We have people who are actually using NFP, which only represents about 3,000 couples. It's maybe 2% of the market. We have the ostriches, the people who have their head in the sand, who don't want to hear anything and don't want to know anything that the church has to say, and we'll have a lot of difficulty actually reaching them. But the sweet spot of our target audience are the unknowing believers. They're the people that are in church every Sunday. They're the people that are in RCIA programs. They are the people that are in pre-Jordan programs. They are the people that come to adult ed programs. And they represent over 31,000 of this total number that we're looking at to segment out in our market that we can go after. And they're the low-hanging fruit. And so they're the ones that we have to go after. So in marketing NFP, what would you think would be the first forefront, out-in-front representative salesperson, if you want to call them that, that are going to be in front of these people all the time? Our priests and our deacons. And any marketing research will tell you that you have to hear a message at least 6 times before it starts to sink in. So if you watch any commercials, if you're driving down 95 and you see a billboard and you're looking at this from a practical point of view, you have to have that little short, sweet message that's repeated, kind of the elevator speech that's repeated over and over and over again, of how we can fit into the customer's mind and how we can be compelling and distinct, and that we have a message that we repeat over and over and over again. Well, do you hear NFP homilies 6 times a year?
Never.
Do you hear the message 6 times in any given season? Do you even hear it during NFP Awareness Week? I would venture to guess that the majority of Catholics don't even know that there is an NFP Awareness Week for 1 week every July celebrating the anniversary of Humanae Vitae. So, who is our competition? We have to look at who we're competing against. We're competing against the pharmaceutical industry, the entertainment industry. We're competing against ignorance. We're competing against the medical community who espouses contraception to all their patients regardless. We're competing against apathy. And people just say, well, this doesn't involve me. I don't really care. It doesn't, you know. We're competing against unenlightened parents. And we're competing against the abortion industry. All the things that are the culture of death. And so we have to look at our strengths and we have to look at our weaknesses. And Betty, why don't you speak to some of the strengths and some of the weaknesses that we have. And before we get into that, we do have a caller from Yardley, so why don't we bring her on the line. Hello, good afternoon. This is NFP for Life, Les Ruppersberger. Hi, is this Jen?
Hi, this is Jen.
Hi, how Jen.
Are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great, I thought I'd join the conversation.
Great.
So I guess my comments were, I am an NFP user. And I totally agree with your statements earlier that it really, the message, I think, has to come out of a place of love, and it's hard, sometimes I think it can be hard to deliver this message in a way without, condemning people that are in a place where they feel like they're not doing anything wrong, you know?
Yep.
And, I think it would be wonderful to get to the audience. Of course, hi, 1 minute. Yeah. Kids. but what I was thinking was, I think it would be wonderful to get this message not only to the couples that are planning on entering marriage, but how do you get it to the audience that is, getting the message maybe once or twice a year from the pulpit? I think it can be more believable from a couple that they can see that using it. And, the question is, how do you set that up? How do you deliver that? I think it would be wonderful to see in parishes, during the week of NFP Awareness Week, to see, have like a talk or something that would be set up for anyone in the parish to attend that can get more information about NFP and what it is and how it really does bless your marriage and how it can be fruitful for a marriage.
I'd like to ask a question of you, though. Do you think that this needs to be given as a fertility awareness understanding to younger women, maybe high school age? I mean, once they get to college, it's difficult to reach them. But if they're in a Catholic high school, what do you think of that?
I think it can be, but it would, you know, you'd have to handle that in a delicate situation. He obviously wouldn't be teaching necessarily, I don't think, the details of it, because it really should be a couple thing that you as a couple go to learn how different NFP, you know.
Did you ever have any knowledge of this before, like, say, pre-Cana or anything like that?
I did go to a Catholic high school, and I do remember getting very little, you know, in that setting. But, I don't know. I think they've come a long way. I think there is a message that's going out there, and that's definitely an audience that you want to hit.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bigger audience right now is the one that, you know, that are sitting in the pews there that may not have the full understanding and may have find it difficult to hear from a priest or a deacon. This message is hard, I think, for a priest or a deacon to just deliver on their own. They do a beautiful job, but I think as a young person, as a couple that would be, you know, considering something like this, I think it can be more profound and more, I don't want to say believable, but believable coming from a couple that actually, you know, uses it and you can.
What do you think would be the hook to get people to come in? You know, if a priest or a deacon gave a homily and then you said right after Mass we're going to have a presentation downstairs with a witness couple and they're going to talk about what this means to their life and their marriage and how it made a difference, how would you get the people to walk down the steps and come?
See, you would probably get maybe one or two couples that may feel safe enough to come down and see what it would be about. So that's the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we're talking.
Would you get a couple that would go up on the pulpit to, you know, to welcome people to something like that? I don't know. It's a tricky situation, but there's definitely a need there. So.
Well, that's why we're trying to outline this and inviting the audience to join us in, and we thank you for your contributions and your dedication to speaking out to this, because we certainly need to get the message out there. And this marketing plan that we're actually talking about was put together by your husband. He kind of carved out the audience and kind of paved the way, and we're trying to gather the support and gather the input that we need in order to be able to put this plan together, because we're not a Windows and we're not an Apple, mm-hmm. and we don't have professionals that are involved in sitting down in a room and getting paid to, you know, put these plans together. And most of the people that we do have involved are volunteers and are busy and have families, and timing's always an issue. You know, the NFP Awareness Week is a great week because it is, you know, a celebration of that, but it also occurs the third week in July every year. And what does everybody do in July? They're out of school, away on vacation, you know, living their lives and out and about. And so we've tried different ways to get people to come in to different kinds of programs where we've had witness couples and we've had conferences and, still get a very, what you would consider to be, if we were a business, we'd be out of business. You know, we'd be failing terribly. We don't have the stores. We don't have, you know, the salespeople. We have a product.
But we do have the truth, and that's what's important.
Absolutely.
And even if you're getting it to one couple.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm not negating that. I'm just trying to, we're trying to figure out a way to expand it to get to more than what we are doing right now. So, we appreciate your contribution.
Well,
and
good luck.
Hang in there. Thanks. And
thank you, Jen.
Keep everybody in prayer. Thanks.
God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
So as we were saying, we have some strengths and some weaknesses that we need to address, and Betty will go through those.
Some of the strengths of natural family planning is it strengthens marriages and families. Also, it's 100% natural and no side effects. It's inexpensive. It's 99% effective. And it has a postpone and an end and an achieve component, so that people that are trying to have children also can practice NFP. It's not always about postponing. But the weaknesses are that there's a learning curve. People don't want to take a class. They think it's difficult. They think it's, and it really isn't. It's very simple. They just don't want to spend time. But there are great, great, great things happening in the world of infertility, which has helped our plea to practice NFP. And there's apps on your cell phone, on your smartphones now for natural family planning. And the learning curve is being lessened. So it's kind of fabulous in that respect. It's countercultural. People that practice NFP are looked upon as, oh my goodness, that doesn't work. That's crazy. Because of their lack of knowledge, they don't understand that there is a wonderful component to this. There's a trust component, and there's an empowerment about your fertility and your family and your planning as a couple. And it strengthens families, so it strengthens your marital bond. Another weakness is the rhythm legacy. Natural family planning is not rhythm. Rhythm was a method that was used in earlier times, and it was a calendar method. Not everybody had or has a regular cycle, so the calendar method didn't work for everyone. But natural family planning is more detailed, more medically accepted, more of an understanding of your fertility, and it is not rhythm. And natural family planning, there are some fragmentations because there's multiple methods. And some people would be, they want their method to be the best method. Well, we promote all methods of natural family planning at this radio station and even in our ministry here. Any method is a good method of natural family planning. The Billings ovulation method, the Creighton model, the symptothermal method, the CCL method, the Marquette method. As you can see, there are many, and I'm probably leaving a few out. Family Services method. There's many, many methods, and it incorporates the same message. It's just different ways of approaching it. So take a look on the web, on the internet, and check it out. Check out a method. It's an absolutely wonderful thing. It's not just one kind of NFP. So if anyone out there has a question or they want to have a comment about this, how to promote NFP, or if you're an NFP user, or maybe you're interested in becoming one, give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. We'd love to hear your comments about this topic today.
One of the other things that we need to do is we need to establish a positioning statement. We need to be able to come up with a phrase, a logo, a tagline, something that will identify who we are and what it is that we do. So one possible positioning statement would be a family planning method that uses a woman's natural signs of fertility to effectively postpone or achieve a pregnancy that promotes physical, spiritual, and marital health. So our marketing mix, how do you market this position? Well, you can do direct to consumer, and church bulletins, church newspapers, direct mail. You can do speaker programs like pre-K and road shows that Betty mentioned, or CIA classes. And then you can have discussions from key opinion leaders, clergy and healthcare providers, homilies, pre-cana interviews, patient visits, witness couples, as Jen mentioned, having a couple get up and talk about it. We need a field force. We need people, salespeople. And they would be courageous conversation. How many of you have been out socially when a topic has come up that regards contraception, sterilization? Oh yeah, Tom can't go out Friday night. He just had a vasectomy. And you just remain silent and don't say anything about it. Or I'm going to take my daughter over to the doctor next week, and she's going away to college. I want her to be put on the pill. I don't want her getting pregnant or getting in any trouble. And so we don't typically respond to that because of courtesy and consideration and a lot of other things, but maybe we need to prayerfully consider how we should respond. We have another caller. Good afternoon.
My name is Lavada Owens-White. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, and I am a faith community nurse. I was listening to your program and the portion where you were talking about marketing and how to get the word out and raise awareness. And I heard you depending on the priests and the deacons to spread the word, but I thought of our group of parish nurses, faith community nurses, who people are more apt to come to in confidentiality and in personal, for personal health counseling, that if you could contact the Catholic Nurses Association and see how many faith community nurses are in your areas, where they're located, if they're interested in providing natural family planning, not only to their congregation, but to the community in which they serve. It might be, there's over 12,000 faith community nurses in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a terrific way for Catholic nurses to put faith into action as well, learning about natural family planning and putting on educational programs in their church, putting it in their church bulletins that a nurse is available to talk about natural family planning for one-on-one counseling.
That's an excellent idea. That's something that I had actually read an article about several years ago, but I had forgotten about it until you just mentioned it. We do have, even on our own parish, a couple of parish nurses that put on some health fairs several times during the year and have a speaker. And it would be an excellent opportunity, and I think something that would be more attractive to many more people to have a nurse who could be taken aside with somebody that had questions or could be called or contacted or everything. So I think that's an excellent suggestion, and we will look into that, and thank you for that contribution. We appreciate it, and we're thrilled to have somebody from Wilmington, Delaware listening to us. That's fabulous.
So well, I'm home early. I usually have the TV on for at this hour, but I'm glad I was able to catch you because I am interested in establishing a Catholic Nurses Association here in Delaware, as we don't have any, and I'm a faith community nurse. I train other faith community nurses to be faith community nurses, so that is something that I would promote in my instructional classes.
Well, that's fabulous. Thank you so much for your witness and your testimony, and thank you for what you do, and we appreciate your contribution. I think it's a great idea.
Well, I'm glad I called.
All right,
okay,
thanks.
Thank
Take care.
You.
Have a blessed weekend.
Yep.
Take care. Thanks.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
God bless. Bye-bye.
So there you go. So you see we're building already a business plan that's going to be working, and now we have another group that could be out there marketing, and that's part of our field force, and that's exactly what we were talking about, is having courageous conversation and good example, good communication from medical providers through parish nurses, faith community nurses, Christian Medical and Dental Association, Catholic Medical Association, young adult groups like Generation Life, which just went national this year for those of you who may not know about it. And so, and we have to look, take a look at other dioceses, and one of those that, was pointed out in the, family foundations that I mentioned was the Diocese of Denver. And Bette, why don't you give a little background on that?
Well, they call this, in this article, the Pioneer Territory, the Archdiocese of Denver. And Denver is a haven of NFP. The first U.S. diocese to institute a pre-marriage NFP requirement. But it wasn't always that way. In the mid-80s, the Diocesan Office of Marriage and Family began coordinating NFP efforts to combat dissidence and disinterest. In the 90s, Colorado hosted World Youth Day and a number of powerful speakers. And by the time Archbishop Chaput issued the Pastoral Letter of Human Life in 1998, the diocese had become a fertile soil. When Archbishop Chaput's norms for marriage took effect in 2000, the CCL had 12 teaching couples in Denver, serving about 200 couples a year. Within 4 years, that number jumped to 30 teaching couples, instructing nearly 800 couples annually. So, hooray for Denver. And we know that we're just waiting, because Archbishop Chaput is a very busy man. But we are starting to see the beginnings here in our Philadelphia Archdiocese. And we pray and pray and pray and hope that this will become an important factor of our pre-Cana, because it can be done. And people that learn NFP, I've actually have a friend whose daughter got married in the Diocese of Phoenix, Arizona. And also, they have a requirement right now to take a full NFP class before, with their marriage prep courses. And it changes you when you take an NFP course. It makes you realize that there's something else out there, and this isn't really difficult. This is easy. And this is about true love, and this is about true trust within a marriage. And it's quite amazing how it has turned some people around that were totally negative against this. And it has opened their eyes and made them cherish their fertility.
There's a few other tips for promoting NFP in the diocese. And Betty just mentioned prayer, and we can't do anything without prayer. And God has a plan, and we have to be open to that and just be here to receive the message and listen to what he tells us to do and what he wants us to do. But one of the things that we can do additionally is to create an NFP community in your diocese. And in order to do that, you can set up a website, you can have group gatherings, and you can get people together and hold, one or two events a month. That would bring couples and people together, that would form bonds of friendship, that would allow people to come back. One of the things that has been floating around in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia for the last 15 years is the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network, which you've heard us mention, and we advertise their conference every year on natural family planning. And we have over 500 people on our mailing list. Unfortunately, the majority of the people don't pay dues and they're not members, even though we put out a newsletter four times a year. But we really don't have any events other than our annual conference, and we get probably between 60 and 100 of the same people coming back year after year after year, which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing, but we need to have more events like that.
Also, the pnfpn.org is the website, pnfpn.org. And we do promote all the classes that are going on throughout the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Another tip is to teach as if everyone who attends genuinely wants to learn NFP. And that goes back to what I was saying about my friend's daughter not knowing or understanding NFP, but was required to take a class. There's no no reason to be defensive about what is good. You know, it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to understand your fertility. So those who teach it do not have to defend the teaching. You know, this is a good. And
when you are teaching it, you have to teach it, as Jen mentioned, with love and with respect and with consideration, understanding that the majority of the population that you're speaking to may or are already contracepting, and they don't know what the message of NFP is, and you have to be enthusiastic, you have to be excited, you have to be walking in and saying, look what I got, I just got my iPhone 5, this is amazing, and, you know, I mean, you hear about all this excitement and all this hype because they're coming out with a new version of a phone, and it's not that I'm pushing any particular product, but you all hear it, and you all hear the marketing, and we all hear about marketing every day, and we need to have the same kind of enthusiasm and the same kind of excitement and the same kind of interest that's piqued by this really great message. And so we have to just can't get up there and say, oh, well, let me tell you what, you know, about this method, and you know, you need to have an interest and an excitement, and you need to be evangelical, and you need to be charismatic, you need to be everything that you need to be. They wouldn't hire somebody boring or dull to go on TV to do a commercial.
One of the other things that I liked about this article was that we need to reach out to new priests or even adopt a seminarian and let them understand that they're not alone. This is a church teaching, and that you as a couple will back them up, will help them along the way, because they're the ones that are interviewing and having talks with pre-Cana couples before you even, you know, have a message to give to them. And they become convincing, and they say, you know, how about taking a class? This stuff, you know, I've talked to other couples, and this really works. This is really a good thing. This is what our church teaches, and we need to promote this. So reach out to new priests, but also distribute packets for our priests at our parishes. Often our pastors are uncomfortable addressing NFP just because they don't have an update on information. So if you give them an update, if you say, I'm available, I know teaching couples, we can have some talks, we can have some classes, we can run a class at your parish, an information night even for NFP. This is our moment because, you know, they're talking about contraception in this next election and how everybody's supposed to pay for it and everybody's entitled to it. It doesn't have to be this way. This is against our church teaching, and we shouldn't have to do that. And where are our voices? We need to speak up and speak about it and not be afraid to speak about it. This is our time now to bring this up.
We do have a couple of leverage points, too, with marketing natural family planning. One of them that is always brought up and mentioned, and you may have heard the phrase before, contraception, why not? Patients are unaware of the physical, emotional, and spiritual impact of contraception. You want to ask the question, you know, what's the potential to turn women away from the pill and seek out healthy alternatives? And I think that if you phrase it in the right way and you come up with the right language and you come up with the right style of presentation, what woman would not want to have a healthier method of planning her family? I mean, realistically, especially if it didn't cost anything. You know, everybody's kind of tight these days with finances, and the economy is struggling, you know, and families are having a tough way to make ends meet, and yet they got to come up with that $40, $50, $60 a month to buy the pills that are not curing or preventing any disease, but managing a lifestyle, and it's an extra $700 or $800 a year in that family's pocket, and not putting these chemicals into a woman's body that if they knew about this, they would, you know, be more apt to want to subscribe to it. And the other leverage point is, do you want your marriage to last? I mean, most people get married with the idea that it's going to be permanent. And So it should be an emotional driver for engaged couples. But we need a paradigm shift. And, you know, one of the biggest paradigm shifts, I think, in our recent times has been with Chick-fil-A. And they've managed to tell you to eat chicken for breakfast. And chicken for breakfast tastes great, and it's a great way to start your day. And so we need to come up with a way, and people are convinced of it, and you all drive down 95 and see the cows on the billboard, you know, saying eat more chicken because the cows want to survive because don't eat beef. So, and it's healthier for you. So they've managed to change the paradigm. So we need to continue to do that. So we need you to pray, and we need some ideas, and we need some volunteers, and we need support. And we need our priests and our deacons. We need our married couples, especially young ones, especially those who use NFP. We need our parish nurses. We need a lot of other people to get behind us. And we will continue through this radio station and through our ministry to evangelize and promote natural family planning. We appreciate everybody that called in today and generated some ideas and support and for your listening to the program. And I'll give Betty the final 30 seconds to end in a prayer with a Hail Mary and say what she needs to say.
And I just say, you know, go NFP and don't be afraid of it. So with that, we thank you for this great time today. And let's end in a Hail Mary.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you, and Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
And God bless.